Today is a unique Sunday at Lambrick. Sometimes we teach Scripture, most often. The bulk of our Sundays here, we open up Scripture and teach it. Sometimes we experience it. And this morning, we kind of have an experience of it. I think of Paul's letters to the churches in the first century church, Colossians, Philippians. Often there's a pause somewhere in the middle of the letter where Paul says, I have news that I want to share with you, but I can't say it in person, so I'm sending someone to you. Colossians chapter 4, he talks about Tychicus, Onesimus, and how they need to come to you to share news. I'm going to quote one of them. Let me pull it up here. I love his passage. Colossians 4, 7. Tychicus will come, will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening there. This morning, we're getting to experience a bit of this. We have a couple Tychicuses with us from Ethiopia and our partnership with Food for the Hungry. And they come to bring news to us of the circumstances, as Paul describes, and to encourage our hearts. And I think this is a beautiful way of us living out this relationship that the gospel invites us into with women and men and places and people that we might not otherwise be bound to. But because of Christ, we become brothers and sisters across a city, across a globe. And so today we get to experience a bit of that being bound together. We're going to start by watching a video. Oh no, I want to start with teaching you a word I learned this morning. So, dena nachu. Is that right? Am I saying it right? So, dena nachu. Nachu. Dena nachu. Say it together. Dena nachu. That's hello in Amharic. So, next time you meet someone who speaks Amharic, say dena nachu. Okay, and then, wait. Oh, I don't have it. Oh no, do I? Amsagnano. No, we'll stop. We'll leave there. Okay. Or you can just say atom. That's the simpler way. When we get into Sasiga, our greeting will be atom to people. My name is Scott. And we'll start with atom. It's much simpler than dinanachu. Although dinanachu is not that crazy hard. Anyways. But thank you, Samson, for teaching me a little bit of Amharic and Omoro. Omoro? Oromefa. Whoa. Okay, got to write those down. All right, we're going to start with the video. It'll pull us into the story. If you are new to Lambrick, haven't been around us, you might not know about our global partnership with Food for the Hungry Canada and what it means. So this video will give us a little window into that, and then we'll dive in. Thank you. Some of us have seen that a number of times. About 8 days from now, 8 and 9 days from now, five of us, Jim Huving with Food for the Hungry Canada, will be driving into that region together and experiencing some of this on the ground, some of us for the second, third, fourth time, some of us for the first time. I'm sure we all know our world is full of brokenness, inequalities. For us, we have so many assumptions, so many things that we are used to. If we were to show up at a destination, a hotel, and there wasn't, the cleanest sheets, not just good sheets, but the cleanest, perfect sheets, and all those things, we would be so output, that's for sure. We are used to all the things that are so normal here, right? And yet the reality is there are many places, both here in Canada and around the world, where opportunities are not there, where life, it does not have a great measure of hope for opportunity, for education, for change. Places of extreme material poverty, although reality is we all live with measures of poverty, relationally, different ways. And often we hear these stories and our hearts break. We don't know what to do. Here and there we get invited to be a part of something. Sometimes we hear stories of what's happening and we walk away going, really, does that help? Does that help? I'm sure all of us have had times where we feel like maybe lots of stuff is being handed off, but the situation isn't changing. Food for the Hungry tells a different story, lives a different path. A bunch of years ago, I came across this organization through a previous church I was serving with, and I fell in love with this organization called Food for the Hungry that work in development in places of extreme poverty and walking communities, ending poverty one community at a time. That's their tagline. That's their purpose. Ending poverty one community at a time. And they actually do it. Hence, this video we've just watched of the Sasiga Lowlands. 3 years ago, in 2016, our team went to be there to celebrate with them the graduation of the Sasiga Lowlands in a 12-year project, 11 years. I think it started in 2005. That's when our partnership joined. Pardon? Yes? Okay. Rosemary, you're talking? Are you joining me here? She's a participatory person, right? Our partnership came to a celebration to celebrate the graduation, and Food for the Hungry moved on to the neighboring region, which is the Mid-Highlands. And so next Sunday, five of us, can I ask the team to stand, and can I invite everyone to look around? See Brian Alton back here, Jeff and Rosemary Gaunt, and Brenda Lee. There you are, sorry, Brenda. Brenda Lee and myself are going to be hopping on a plane to Vancouver, to Frankfurt, to Addis Ababa, and then the next day we will drive in 7 hours to Nakempt, and the next morning, or maybe that night, we head into the region to begin a journey of learning, of friendship, of encouragement, and of exploring how better we can continue to carry and live out this partnership with our friends. That is FH in Ethiopia, and the people of the region of the Mid-Highlands and Sasiga. Can I ask anyone who's gone on the trip before to Ethiopia with our partnerships to stand up right now? I know there's others. We've got others that are not. Just three people who are here today. Is that right? Am I missing lights? Okay. Thank you, Sarah and Curtis and Heidi. I had Amy in my head because we were talking this morning. I apologize. There's many who've gone over the years. I want to invite Rosemary to come, and she's just going to introduce our guests for us, and then one of them's going to come and share for a bit.
It's always just so amazing to me that we get to, all of us, meet Daniel and Samson from Sasiga, whom we've met before, and we've grown to love, and I think they love us. So come on up. Do you want them to come now?
No, I'll stand.
Stand, Daniel and Samson and Trish, please. So these are all people who are extremely important to the work in FH Ethiopia.
I'll just explain their roles.
Yes,
so Trish is the country director. for Ethiopia, has been there now 4 to 6 months, having served previously in Uganda for many years. And as Ethiopia is the largest country work of Food for the Hungry internationally, so a huge role and responsibility that Trish has, seeing a large organization, 1,000 employees across the country, many projects, great investment, it matters so much. Daniel is the acting country director right now, is that right? Am I saying that right? No. Acting program director for the country. Yeah. And Samson is the integrated development project program manager for the region in Sasiga. And he has often been post to our group over the years. So whenever you hear Samson, previous team members all light up. Oh, I remember Samson with great love. However, he's going down to Wisconsin this coming week, and he's not going to be with us. He's going to visit some family and see some friends graduate from nursing school. And Daniel will be a significant host for us and partner along the way. I just met Daniel this morning and Samson, and I look forward to becoming friends with Daniel over this week. So we're going to start. Samson, invite you to come up and share with us about... I wanted to have Samson, who specifically really is overseeing the project in the area, to come and share with us about reflecting a bit on our partnership with the Lowlands. For those of us who don't know it, it ended 3 years ago officially, and so just hearing some of what's going on there, but also to talk to us a bit about what's unique about the Mid-Highlands. What's unique about the story of these people, what the project is looking like so far. I think most of us hear the story of the previous project, and we're looking forward to learning about this new one. So, and you can go in some other places, other directions too, okay?
So,
direct Michael, he can guide you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm gonna to present the PowerPoint, and just there will be a questions and answer session. So during that time, both Trish and Daniel will join us. So this is the project impacts and lessons learned for the Lambrick Park Church team. So this is the Sasiga Integrated Community Development Program. So the outline of my presentation will be, I'll share to you about the project profile, the sectors that we are currently implementing in Sasiga, the historical partnership that we have with Lambrick Park Church, project goal, impacts, and the needed support in our partnership. So regarding the project profile, Sasiga Lowland project has been in Sasiga between 2004 to 2060. It has been targeted more than 36,464 population. And in that area, we were supporting 592 orphan and vulnerable children. But currently, starting from 2014 onward, we are in the first phase of Sasiga Mid-Highland, so we are targeting more than 25,371 population in 9 communities and directly 1,511 orphan and vulnerable children are supported in our program. So this is the graduation that you have seen for the Sasiga Lowland. So there are lots of teams comes from Canada to attend our graduation ceremony for the Sasiga Lowland project. So these are the current sectors that we are implementing in Sasiga: food security and livelihood, health and nutrition, water and sanitation, education, and disaster risk reduction. So these are the big sectors that we are doing in Sasiga. So regarding our partnership with the Lambrick Park Church team, it has been started since 2005, long ago. So the Lambrick Park Church team sent this team to learn from ground reality. So it has been more than 5 times teams sent to our program. Especially sponsor children in Sasiga Lowland from Lambrick Park Church team are visited face to face. So Scott and other teams will get chance again just to visit the Mid-Highland by next week. So during that moment, they were highly motivated, encouraged, and prepared for them, and a remarkable support have been got, especially on vet post service. So Jeff and Rosemary are live witness. We have even there are also right now inside this congregation. So we acknowledged really the partnership we have with Lambrick Park Church. So this is the moment that we have acknowledged the Lambrick Park Church while we graduate from the Sasiga Lowland in 2040. So regarding the project goal of Sasiga program, the overall goal of the program is to bring about improved well-being of households, boys and girls, in the project targeted area of Sasiga district. So let me share some points regarding the impact that we have brought regarding our partnership with Sasiga, with Lambrick Park Church team. So more than 592 children in Sasiga Lowland and 1,511 children in Sasiga Midland, Mid Highland are able to attend school. And we have also constructed additional 32 classrooms with full equipment in Sasiga Lowland and 12 classrooms in Sasiga Mid Highland. As a result, student classroom ratio reduced from 120 to 60, and more than 40,746 children in both Mid Highland and Lowland area are able to get access to better education. So this is one of the school that were constructed in Sasiga. These are children who have got support in our program and impacted in our education program. And with regard to impact to health and water sanitation, we are constructed more than 40 hand wells and 70 springs in Lowland area, and waterborne disease was the first among the top three diseases while we start our partnership with the Sasiga community. But while we graduate from that community, the waterborne disease moves down to nines. So this is one of the handagwell constructed in Sasiga, which most of the teams from Lambrick Park Church visited. This is also one of the water handagwell constructed in Sasiga. And with regard to food security, livelihood, and disaster risk reduction, we have provided different inputs to the community that we are partnered. So the provision of different inputs, including small ruminants, vegetable, coffee and tree, farm tools, and different beehive materials can bring a lot of impact in our partner community. So as a result, if you go to that community right now, balanced diet consumption improved at household level. We have introduced different kinds of we have introduced different kinds of inputs, and the family income increased. Most of our targeted household retain their children at school, and household gets an opportunity to eat three times a day. So just you will see different pictures following this. This is a woman who harvests tomato, vegetable. And with regarding to impact with livelihood and DRR, both the lowland and highland 18 communities are able to analyze, prioritize potential hazard and risk, including mitigation plan to disaster and response. Natural resource management practice significantly improved in the area as a result of establishment of private and government nursery sites. And you can see here a lot of our community members start to establish their own nursery sites. And with regarding to, again, livelihood aspect, we have constructed vet post in Sasiga Lowland and 3 vet posts in Mid Highland to improve animal health service. So number of livestock significantly increased in the project area due to improved health service that we have introduced in that community. So you will see the focus, you see? Yeah. This is one of the vet posts that we have constructed in Sasiga. And what are the support that we are still demanded with the Lambrick partnership, through our partnership? We would like to continue to work with us to support the most vulnerable in those domain of change, in the area of education, in the area of food security, livelihood, health and nutrition, water and sanitation, as well as disaster risk reduction. The forms of support might be in terms of through your continuous prayer financially, and even we are very much happy if you give us different capacity building trainings as well as counseling on the psychosocial and moral aspects. So the following are some pictures that I can share to you while the Lambrick Park Church team visited Sasiga. You can see these are while people visited our families. Continue. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So while people are trying to support us, even in different activities. There are some difficult places, especially in the lowland area, you might expect it to pass through. You see, people are enjoying with your different hair. Thank you very much.
Stay up here. I'm going to invite Trish and Daniel to join us. Come on up. And we're going to grab these chairs. Let's grab these chairs and bring them up. We're going to sit up here together and talk for a few minutes. I was thinking as you were sharing there, Samson, I have a friend, just you can leave it there. I have a friend who's been in hospital in Vancouver, like many of our friends, and she's just had some surgery on Saturday, and we were waiting to hear, you know, what the diagnosis was. And I kind of feel like that as you share, Samson, we have this ongoing, yeah, that's great, have a seat, this ongoing friendship and relationship with this group of, a community of people and leaders serving in another part of the world, and having you come and share today, even though it's a PowerPoint presentation and we're talking about livelihoods and stuff, I have this sense of like waiting to hear and wanting to know how are things progressing. Obviously, this is not just a partnership. This is about the real lives of 35,000 people in the Sasiga Lowlands and 25,000 people now in the Mid-Highlands. 1,150 orphan and vulnerable children. I'd love to have you explain a little bit about, Samson, about when you showed the number for the Lowlands, it was 35,000 people in the region and 600 orphan and vulnerable children. The population is smaller in the Mid-Highlands, but there's 1,500 orphaned or vulnerable children. Can you explain to us what, is there any factors that explain why the difference is? There's that many more orphaned or vulnerable children in this region. Is there something going on or has gone on in this people? Daniel, want to speak to that?
Sure, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Definitely, there is a difference between the two figures. And the reason for that is mainly in the previous partnership we have in the lowland areas. The support office, FH, Food for the Hungry Canada, the capacity to raise funding especially sponsorship acquisition, was a bit low, limited, and they are highly faithful to fulfill their commitments regardless of where the source is. So yes, the number is small, but you know the funding comes as a result of the that partnership. Sponsorship is significantly contributing to the lives of more than 592 children. So the figure shows only those children who were participated in the sponsorship, but the impact, the service goes beyond that number.
Right.
So in the Mid-Highland areas, we have now more than 1,500. And so that is because of, you know, the growth in sponsorship and, you know, good hearts, hearted Canadians are partnering with Food for the Hungry Canada. Thank you.
Is it just Canada partnered in this region, or are there other, I know there's other groups than just Lambrick. It's all Canada. Okay, wow. Those 1,500 sponsorships are all coming from Canadians.
Yes.
That's awesome. Wow. Trish, why do you work with Food for the Hungry? What is it about Food for the Hungry that fires you up? Because otherwise you wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
You'd be, I'm sure that you're not killing it financially, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the pay is. But what is it about FH that burns for you?
That's an awesome question, actually. When I was quite young, I felt like God was leading me towards a service-oriented vocation. And yet I didn't, forgive me, but I didn't really want to just be a pastor. I didn't want to either just, not that just be a pastor. I mean, I wanted to have a wider...
The word just.
Okay. I feel like I need to start again.
Your highest calling is to follow Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
Wherever that takes.
And so, you know, in considering how I could live out both spiritual and physical ministry at the same time, I sought out organizations. And this is going to really give away how old I really am. But at the time when I went through university, there wasn't such a thing as, you know, development focused work. And so I sought out an organization that would enable me to integrate both my faith and and a practice. There's a saying that goes something along the lines of preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And so I felt like that was really kind of my motto as I was seeking where I could minister and at the same time be very effective in a physical way. When I see videos like the graduation in Cecilia, I can't even hold back. I just get choked up and I think, I get to do this. I get to do this every day. And it really fires me up, that integration of faith and practice at the same time. I have not seen another organization that does it as practically as well as Food for the Hungry. This is not just about physically going and impacting community, but it's really about mindset change within the community. It's about mutual transformation, recognizing my own brokenness, recognizing my own poverty on many levels, and just seeing how much we can learn from each other and breaking down some of those cultural lies that keep communities from progressing, because every community, nobody has nothing. Every community has something, and Food for the Hungry does an amazing job of drawing out what are those capitals that they have and leveraging them to really get to the next level, and then when FH leaves, having them continue on and even thrive more as the years go on.
Now, you guys work with everyone that is in the community. Like, this is an organization that is fueled by the gospel. And because of that, you work with everyone that you step into the path of. In this region, I would think there is a mix of Christians, Muslims, and Christians across the kind of global landscape, Orthodox and Catholic and Protestant evangelical. Talk to us about the role, whoever, I don't know who wants to answer this. What is the role of the local church in a region, in the village? What is their role in the life and the work of FH? Daniel?
Yeah. Good question. As an organization, FH partners with churches, local leaders, and families. They are the key partners for FH to transform communities as a sustainable endeavor. So we go to communities and we seek local churches and we identify, assess their capacity needs in the area of growth. And then we work with them in different aspects. For instance, the church is called to reach out its community. So that is the church's mandate, God-given mandate. So our role as FH is to capacitate the churches, to capacitate churches, you know, to live out and their God-given call. So it's a holistic approach. It's not just preaching, but the church has a role to serve holistically to its community. So in the long term, that gives, for instance, I give you one particular example. The local churches are replicating what FH is doing in those communities. They care for orphans and also widows. They gather resources among their scanty income, but still they support. And it's beyond preaching and sharing the love of God. So our staff living in the midst of communities, they participate in a local church, and that is incarnationally living out their calling, so that there is a strong bondage between FH and the local church, so that when FH leaves, it is the church remains there to continue the caring for their community groups.
Is that part then of like your vision long term is not to stay, but to have a community graduate? And so you're working to develop sustainability within the development initiatives and leadership responsibility within the region. I would think that's part of the vision of sustainability, is empowering leaders within the life of the church. What else is key to how you work towards sustainability and being able to hand off the responsibility of the health of the community in the way that FH works?
Yeah. Especially what we have done both in the livelihood and other activity while we are implementing with the community, we usually capacitate them and we usually help them to practice in their own. For instance, we can say daily that there are different handouts that we are providing to the community so the community can copy that one and practice by their own resource. So this, in this way, people can get even better water access in their home backyard through their own effort by looking at what FH has done throughout the community. This is one example that we can share regarding sustainability in the area of water sector. But if you look at in the area of livelihood aspect, even a lots of people start to practice a kind of their own private nursery sites, mm-hmm. so that nursery sites will help them to generate additional income by selling those products to the community. So there are a number of practice that can be copied by the community while we are introducing different kinds of technology toward that community. So in that way, people become practicing all those things in their community, and we are dearly say that sustainability is moving forward.
Yeah, the approach we use is to make development initiative a sustainable one. It requires involving the community groups at different levels. through active participation. They plan, they engage themselves in the identification of needs, and also we plan together with community representatives, and the implementation goes alongside. It's not FH doing everything on behalf of the community. So it is a strong bondage throughout the project cycle, starting from initiating the identification until, you know, monitoring and evaluation. You know, they give us their feedback and the way how to improve our intervention. So it is a real sense of partnership, ownership, and engagement that makes it sustainable. So this is how FH is doing.
Yeah. Throw you a different question, just for the sake of time here. Trish, being that you are Canadian-born, and with that I mean you've also been a part of the church in Canada, what is your vision for us? Like, it's easy for us, and I'll just be frank, right? It's easy to sign on and sponsor a child and send the checks and sign up for a payment plan where you're not literally doing it every month. It just goes. And here and there you get a letter, and let's be honest, maybe sometimes you reply, not always. And then an event like this happens and we send some people off and we cheer and we pray and they come back and we keep going on. And yet, Food for the Hungry lives with a vision of mutual transformation. Talk to us about your sense of how we could live into that more, because I think we want to, right? We want to own this. We want to be people that are growing in generosity. Unpack a bit for us.
Yeah, that's fantastic. A great question. Actually, when I look at the vision of how I would love to see churches engaging with communities, be it in Sisiga, be it in other parts of the world, I try and think about, you know, how does God see us? What breaks God's heart? What touches God? I don't think that God sees me as a Canadian-born person any differently than actually he sees Daniel or other community members that are in Sisiga or other parts of the world. We might have come from a materially blessed background, but we still struggle with the same issues in our lives. We struggle with brokenness. We struggle with poverty relationally. We struggle with spiritual poverty. And I think that God sees us in a much different way than how we've been even raised to see ourselves, whether intentionally or unintentionally. I don't see that there's such a separation, that there's such a boundary. And I feel like at times, in the Western church, we may have a view of kind of us and them. And yet there really is, in God's eyes, a brotherhood, a sisterhood. We are God's children, regardless of where we happen to have been brought into the world. And when God sees brokenness, that separation from him, whether it is in Ethiopia or whether it is in Canada, that brokenness, that separation breaks his heart. And so my view would be, my vision would be just to kind of break down some of those barriers, to realize that these are our brothers and sisters. We have a lot more in common than we do differences. And we do have a lot to learn from one another. We do have a lot that we can, you know, use that learning to be a transformational engine to help us come into closer unity with God, actually. I think that would be more my vision, is to kind of try and see ourselves as God sees us in terms of his children and not in terms of that separation.
You can keep the microphone.
Sure.
What is one or two things as a country...
Okay.
Director, that you're facing as an organization, Food for the Hungry, that we could be praying with you for?
So in Ethiopia, unfortunately, the amount of opportunity to minister is massive. It is very far-reaching. I think Ethiopia might be one of the only countries worldwide where you have every sort of spectrum of need, from long-term development needs to shorter-term development needs. We have chronic disasters that have affected people, and we have sudden onset disasters, drought and climactic issues that happen. We've had refugee hosting. We have refugees from other parts of the world who have actually settled in Ethiopia, and the pressure that puts on host communities in refugee hosting districts, in addition to internal conflict that's fueled primarily through different ethnic conflicts that are internal to Ethiopia. Right now, Ethiopia has the largest number of internally displaced people in the world, 3.4 million internally displaced within Ethiopia, and many of those internally displaced are within communities where we have our programs. I mean, the need is really overwhelming, and we don't serve a God of a restriction. We serve a God of abundance, and so we pray for wisdom on where to prioritize those needs and how to seek the resource to be able to meet those needs. So that would be a prayer request, is for wisdom and direction on how to meet those different needs that we have.
Awesome. Thank you, Trish. Sean Plummer is the president of Food for the Hungry Canada. We've been friends for a number of years and went together on a Food for the Hungry trip to Uganda a bunch of years back. And Sean's a hoot. He's a punk. He's a trickster and a great leader. And he's, how long have you been in the role now?
Year and a half.
New chapter for FH with Sean Plummer. So Sean, just for you, what is one or two things that FH Canada is facing we can pray with you for?
Thank you. I see you're dressed for the field already. That's nice to see. You know, in the, nice. Okay, actually, right there, that's what I'm going to talk about. In the fall, I think you guys have hosted a boot camp here before, a biblical worldview training that we offer churches. As a next step, many churches in Canada were going, what does level two look like? How can you help us across Canada reach the poor and the marginalized around us? So we felt led to, in the fall, we actually launched a digital platform, a website called endingpovertytogether.org. And we really felt that actually in Ethiopia and other countries, we partner well with other Christian organizations that do similar work, but we don't do that well here in Canada. So we reached out to a number of organizations, like-minded Christian organizations who do good development, and said, why don't we collaborate on and bring all of our resources together and support the church, support other grassroots organizations across Canada. Let's pull together. And the response has been incredible. In about 4 months, we now have over 30 organizations across Canada, including IJM and Compassion and others that have come and joined us. And we now have this one-stop hub where the trainings that we offer, the resources that we have, we now are leveraging those together and sharing them. And it's been, yeah, like I said, the response has been enormous, and we have a number of organizations are now asking to join us. So we're finding that God is just really giving us this platform to go, you know what, let's stop competing in Canada, let's start working together. Let's work together well here in Canada and help the church reach out to the community around them. So that I think I would just ask for, it's been an amazing blessing. I would just ask for continued prayer to help us do that well. What does that look like 3 years down the road? And how do we continually reach Canadians across this country? So that would be one thing. I think the other is just quickly, how do we keep supporting a church like Lambrook? And thank you so much. You guys have been, it's a long partnership, and you've been faithful, and we so appreciate it. And there are other churches. We're trying to do this well. How can we help the church disciple your own community and your congregation? And we're also finding that business owners have a heart for how do they use their business above and beyond profit. How do they reach out and support their own community and support our global community that we're a part of? We're all doing kingdom work together. So we're trying to also we have a model in partnering with business, and how do we do that well and allow a business owner to increase that relationship and engage with their staff and their clients and walk with a community overseas as well. And it's really exciting, and we're just trying to figure out how to do that well. So those would be a few things that we need prayer for.
It's going to read a passage from Philippians. Simon, feel free to bring your team up, and we'll pray together. And at the end of the service, we will pray together for our team heading out. Philippians ends with, many of us know Philippians. We've read it, we've prayed it, we've studied it, we've memorized bits of it. Last year, we taught through it. And at the end of it, Paul writes, "Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account." We talked about this last year. I love this passage because it reminds us that faith and action are never separated. And needs and spirituality are not separate things. God and the work of the gospel are bound up with every facet of our lives. So we can bring to God the daily stresses of our lives, and we can follow God in reference to the daily matters of our world. And so the stuff you guys are naming, this is just real gospel life every day all over this world. So let's pray together for our friends. God, as we come with our own needs, some of us in this room right here have so much, and yet we are scared how we're going to pay the bills next month. Mortgage or student debt responsibilities are daunting everywhere we are. This is life in a broken world. We all come with need. We come to you and ask, give us this day our daily bread. We pray that for Sean and Food for the Hungry Canada. We pray that for Trish and Food for the Hungry Ethiopia. We ask God for your provision for them. We ask for provision for Trish and her team, for provision of wisdom and discernment to know where you are inviting them to take the next step. In a world of opportunity and a world of need, would you unite them with a listening heart and courageous discernment to run forward with you, God, into the places that you invite them to go into and be able to make strategic no's so they can make gospel yeses, Lord. We thank you for Trish and the gifts that she has, your hand in her life and what she brings. And we ask as she continues to become established in this new country for her, in this new chapter of her leadership, that you would equip her for the responsibility that she has as she partners with her team and works with the whole organization and all of their partners. We thank you for Sean and for your hand on his life and the things he's to share with us. And we ask God for your grace and your fruitfulness in this new partnership of agencies here. You care about the poor in our city, God. You care about the struggling on our streets. And you have invited us to partner with you. Thank you for the ways that we get to be a part of your work here in Victoria. And we ask for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in this new growing partnership of agencies here. We ask, God, that you would cause them to bear fruit, because that fruit is us knowing better how to participate with you in responding to the needs around us and being hands and feet of Christ that bring change, Lord. Thank you for the gift of having Samson and Daniel and Trish and Sean with us today, for who they are and your grace to them, in their brokenness, in the capacities that you've given them, God, that you've taken their lives and woven them into your redemptive work in this world, and you've made them our sister and our brothers, with them and many others. We ask for your grace, your hand to be upon them today as they cross the water, as they get on planes and fly across the world. And we ask above all, God, that you would continue to hallow your name in this world and make your kingdom come and your will be done in their lives and through their lives and in us. Amen. Amen. I think we're going to stand and sing something as a prayer, and then we'll close together.